Did you ever think you would make it? I feel I'm so close, I could taste sweet victory. I know this life meant for me. Yeah. Why would you bet on Goliath when we got Bet David? Value taming, giving value's contagious. This world of entrepreneurs, we get no value to hate. And how they run, homie, look what I become. I'm the one.
Is there a scientific way to figure out what it means to be gay? Like, meaning, there is a scientific way to say what is it to be a man, right? Scientific. I'm born with a dangling, right?
Yeah.
There is a scientific, I think that's what they call it, right?
Somebody clip that, please.
Yeah. Somebody is going to. That one's done.
There's a stem on the apple.
Yeah.
That
so
is funny.
A girl is born with a vagina.
Right. Okay,
like that movie, what was it, Kindergarten Cop? Hey, when he tells Arnold Schwarzenegger, he says what? He says, you know, boys have penises and girls have vaginas, right? Okay. That is a scientific way. And we can even go deeper to look at the chromosome count to say this. Is there a scientific way of defining what it is to be gay? Or do we all just have to say, well, you said you've been gay since you were a kid, so we have to believe it. Do you know what I'm asking, Tom? Is there a scientific way to say, based on your chromosome count and where you're at, you're gay?
I haven't seen anything like that. On my end, it's something that I would foresee being very hard to determine, you know, because people go through these life experiences and changes. You see it all the time where someone will be like, you know, 55 and say, you know what? I'm really gay, and then they start liking men. And it's like, how do you really gauge, you know, how do you quantify that experience to be able to make a determination on it?
So, you know who you see that a lot with, too, truthfully, in my experience? I've seen a lot of women who go through life. They have a family, they're married, yeah. They have kids, and then at 50, they're lesbian, which is, and the reason that this is an interesting point that I know you've brought up a couple of times, Pat, I think is because if you look at the stuff like with Bill Maher that we talked about before, the numbers are exploding. If you look at the numbers of when you talk about trans, how many people you know who are legitimately have, you know, body dysphoria or have all of these issues, those are also ballooning. So there has to be a way to gauge like what is real, what is happening in someone's body versus what is societally induced in someone, particularly with respect to, you know, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I'm this. You can't just treat people based off nothing. Right? They're now getting drugs and stuff. It has to be grounded in some science here.
Have I told you the story about the gay bar we went to in Nashville, Tennessee? I know you don't know the story, but do you know
No.
the story? Okay. So I'm the Army, and one of our guys, his name is Chip, he says, when you're ready, I'm going to take you to the best underground club in all of Nashville. I'm like, bro, I'm ready. I've gone to all the clubs. I've gone to Vegas. Trust me, I'm ready. He says, no, you're not. I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of crazy clubs. I guarantee you've never been to a crazy club like this. I said, dude, I'm from L.A. He says, okay, let's see. Anyways, 3 months later, he's like the guy that's been there longer than us. He takes me and this other guy, Jeff, to this club. We go to this club. It's Studio 54 on steroids. And by the way, when I tell you Studio 50, if you've seen the movie where people are going at it on the floor, they're doing this over here, they're doing that, they're doing this, trans, drags, all of it is going on at this club, okay? And there's a couple thousand people there. It's bonkers how crazy this club was. So we go in. We go in, and obviously, you know, gay men will come up to you and say, hey, handsome, hey, this, hey, that.
You're like, you know what? Deep voice.
Yeah, it's flirting in their own way. And then there's those that don't have the deep voice, and right. They talk to you as well, right? Like, all right, cool. So I'm like, listen, man, I'm just here for the girls. And it was great because girls would go there to not be bothered.
Right.
Because they just want to be left alone. Well, this allowed us to go there. And if they change their minds by 11:30, there's an option. Okay? It's kind of... They're like, okay, cool. We'll
oh
go
my
there.
Gosh. There's plenty that have that same outlook.
Right.
I assure you.
So I'm like, you know what? What a brilliant strategy by this guy. So I'm like, why is this guy always around these beautiful girls? Anyways, here's what happened on the drive home. One of our guys goes to the bathroom, and this guy approaches him, and he says, you know, are you gay? He says, no, I'm straight. He says, you ever been with a man before? He says, no. He says, how do you know you're straight if you've never been with a man before? Okay. And in the 45-minute drive back from Nashville to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, this guy was struggling with that question.
Really?
And oh, wow. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? He's supposed to do that. That's kind of like how we flirt with girls. We use our, like, you know, the line from Top Gun. He says, you know, You, whatever, I don't date pilots. Well, if the government can trust me, why can't you? Right? All these lines are good lines. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm listening to the lines. I'm like, dude, that's his pickup line to convert straight guys. He's like, no, but what if he's right? I'm like,
wow.
You don't understand what you're doing, bro, right now. You're going to go in a very bad place here.
It's going down the rabbit hole.
Dude, until we're married, we're all in sales.
Guess what rabbit hole he ended up going to? To the rabbit hole to find out for himself.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding with you. So he goes back.
Sounds like more than a rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, he goes back, and he fully wants to find out. And then, anyways, I don't want to go into, because some of the people that are listening will know who I'm talking about. He ends up saying, no, you know, I'm not. I'm straight, okay? But he full-blown went everywhere, okay?
He was
like,
all in.
I'm like, did you really have to do this to go there? He said, well, yes. So the reason why I asked that question is because I think... It's uncomfortable to talk about this today because I know what's going to happen after this podcast today. I'm going to get emails. Why are you even doing this? Stick to the business. Stick to that. It's okay, you're talking politics. Why are you touching this? You know these guys are going to come and they're going to do that and they're going to do this. I'm asking a simple question. If you're saying 75%, 25% because of life, 75% they were born that way, I'd love to know the scientific formula on what categorizes a person to be gay, and then we will, I mean, I think it's like, dude, what do you want to say? That person based on that. Or it's just a choice an individual is making that later on, a lot of it could have been persuasion by somebody else. Because from my experiences, I've been to many different places and I've been around straights, gays, bis, all of this stuff. And I understand. I understand what the approach of trying to convert and baptize the other individual to get them to think. So my question is more, I would love the research to know exactly what that number is. And I would love for scientists who are Republican and Democrat to work together, fund the budget to find out exactly what needs to be the scientific formula for us to say people are born gay. I'd be so curious to know that.
I think that that's something under the wheelhouse that we can definitely, deep dive into as an organization. We're definitely got nonprofit, for the IRS. So we're definitely seeking large funding to be able to, pull things out and accomplish things like this. Because I think that there is a gray area that, isn't being investigated. Yeah. And that's something that, GAG could definitely look into because it goes under the grooming wheelhouse.
You know what I would want to know? I would want to know if you can pull up. If you can for a fact get to the bottom of it and fund this with scientists, I'd love for your organization to come back and tell us how much that would cost. Okay?
You got it.
Yeah. I would love for you to come back and say, we can fund it with this scientist, that scientist, and I want it to be both sides because I don't want it to be any bias. They're all Republicans or they're all Democrats or they're all this. I want it to be people at our for the vaccination, they're not for the vaccination. I don't want all of them to be, well, the vax wasn't a good thing you took. Or I don't want all of them to be, you should have taken a vax for COVID. Because, vax became political. This LGBT is political. Everything is now political.
Of course, yeah.
If you tell me how much it would cost to find out to get to the bottom of it, I don't know. Maybe I'll either contribute or we'll go help you raise the funds. But I'm really, really curious. Yeah. And what I'm even more curious about, has this study ever been done? Rob, can you even pull it up? Like, is there, what is like a... What would be the word, by the way, to even search for it? Is it gene? Is it chromosome? What would it be?
I feel like it would be something like in your brain activity would probably be like where you would want to target, certain receptors, I would assume, if you were going to gauge. Because at the end of the day, it's based on your attraction, right?
PBS. So pull up that one. Let's see what PBS says. Can you pull that up? There is no gay gene. There is no straight gene. Sexuality is just complex. Study confirms. Can you zoom in a little bit? So we obviously know this is PBS, so we know what side they're going to be leaning to. There's no single gene possibility. The first thing you need to know about the largest genetic investigation of sexuality ever, which was published Thursday in Science, the study of nearly 500,000 people closes the door on the debate around the existence of the so-called gay gene. Okay, in its stead, the report finds that human DNA cannot predict who is gay or heterosexual. Sexuality cannot be pinned down by biology, psychology, or life experiences. This study or other shows because human sexual attraction is decided by all these factors. This is not a first study exploring the genetics of same-sex behavior, but the previous study were small and underpowered. The study's co-author and genetics research fellow at the Broad Institute and Mass General Hospital on Wednesday Just to give you a sense of the scale of our data, this is approximately 100 times bigger than any previous study on the topic. The study shows that the genes play a small and limited role in determining sexuality. Genetic heritability, all of the information stored in our genes and passed between generations, can explain 8 to 25% of why people have same-sex relation based on study results. Are they going to give it to us or no? Can track on a single gene? Keep going on. Let's see if there's like points what they're going to say. So worth keeping in mind. Of course, ethical concerns. Yeah, I don't know. If I know what physically I can say somebody is straight, somebody is a man, or somebody is a woman, I'm not talking about straight or gay. I'm talking about what is a man and what is a woman, okay? We can physically look at somebody when they're born, when your baby is born, they will say, you have a boy, okay? And when we see the picture, they'll say, this is a boy because of, you know, you see the picture, there's a dangling, right? Or this is a girl, right? And you go, you got a girl, you got this, okay, great. Now, oh, it's a boy, phenomenal, you celebrate. But is there a way to say, your kid's going to be gay because his chromosomes number is this and test is this, this is what's going to happen. Great, let's celebrate it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really hard thing to accomplish, because I did read a study like through the National Library of Medicine that kind of reinforces a little bit here that there are many influences that can help determine someone's sexuality. And I think that would probably be most accurate, that sexuality isn't just something that is so binary that, oh, you can only be straight and you will always be straight. I think we have enough, you know, people in the world that have changed that, like we spoke about. But when it comes down to like...
But why though?
Why?
Well, why though? So let's go to that. So a 55-year-old man is married, two kids, all of a sudden says, I'm gay, okay? We had a very, like you talked about earlier, right? Okay, we had a very good friend, dropped that gorgeous girl, married to a very famous guy in LA who's done very well, billionaire money guy. All of a sudden, one day, she's like, nah, I'm not, I'm lesbian. I like women. She left her husband with two kids and went and got with another girl, and they got married, and now she's lesbian, right? Okay, but what causes that? What causes a 55-year-old who has been married with kids, like the movie Whale, right? You saw the movie Whale. I don't know if you've seen the movie Whale or not with the guy that, didn't he just win the Oscar? Brandon Fraser, that he was a married guy with a daughter, and when she's 8 or 9 years old, he's a teacher, he falls in love with a student who's 23, he leaves the wife and a daughter to go be with him, and then the guy he falls in love with ends up having AIDS, he dies, and then later on, he eats so much and he kills himself right in front of the daughter. This whole story, I don't know if you've seen this story.
No.
Depressing story at the highest level. Don't recommend watching it. Brandon Fraser crushed the acting, but the storyline makes zero sense on how depressing of a story this is, right? But why does a 55-year-old man all of a sudden choose to be gay?
I wouldn't have the answer to that. I mean, I feel like the biggest proponent, if you wanted to take a guess on that, is social influence, is what is going to, you know, groom someone into behaving or seeing something in a different light. I would be a fool to say that, you know, when you idolize something, that people don't want what you're idolizing. And so that's marketing. And so I would argue that it would, based on that person's individual life experiences that brought them to that decision. I know many of women that face like sexual assault, and that is a reason why that they go down the journey of being lesbian.
It's a pretty dramatic event, though.
It is. And so,
but it's not genetics.
No, but yeah. it would be a proponent of that mental state and changing your mental outlook because of what happened to you.
But you see, I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Then that to me becomes a religion. You change your religion is what you did. Meaning, there's a lot of people that are atheists. At 55-year-old, they become Christians. Well, why'd you become a Christian, right? You read about C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you know who C.S. Lewis is, with the book Mere Christianity, mm-hmm. or Chronicles of Narnia. They made a book about this guy. It's a phenomenal movie, the movie they made about him. Divorce Letters. I think he's got all these great books that he wrote, right? The Great Divorce. He's got all these things that he wrote. Screwtape Letters, if you've read it. It's a phenomenal book, Screwtape Letters. This guy was an atheist, Oxford. Then he becomes a Christian. You're a pretty smart guy. What happened? How do you change? Yeah, I joined a faith and I found God. How do some of these boxers, I was born a Christian, now I'm a Muslim. What happened? Well, a life-changing event happened, right? That's a religion. That's not genetics. That's not how you were born. I am born a man, okay? But people influence me to
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Say, wow, I like that guy. He asked the questions. He converted me, right? That is a religion I'm joining, but it's not how I'm born. That's the question I'm putting out there.
Right.
Makes sense.
And would you argue then that straight would be a religion too?
No. To me, being born a man, okay, is gay gender? Is gay a gender?
No.
What is gay?
Gay is a sexuality. So straight would also be a sexuality. Man and woman are genders. So male and female,
but
man and
application,
woman.
On the application, you know how I put, you know, male, female. Now there's like other, this, that. That's
no. So it's not like male, female, straight, gay. It's male, female. Those are your two binary genders.
Yep.
And that's the way I see it. And then you have these people that are going to determine their sexual orientation. And now from there, you're going to take someone that could be a man or could be a woman. And they could be lesbian or straight or mm-hmm. gay. And so I could definitely, you know, see the lens that, you know, if we wanted to claim sexuality as some sort of religion, some sort of belief, it would have to be blanketed across everyone.
Yeah, but I'll show you here. Like this, these are, I'm giving you applications where they say, what is your gender?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says female, male, trans, female to male, male to female, intersex, other. You know, so, and then you have the sexual orientation, which you're talking about.
Which like is completely gay. Different totally than like trans.
Yeah. Okay, totally get it. So you're saying gay is a religion, then straight is also religion.
Yeah, because they're both sexual. If we're going to paint gay as being a religion,
yeah.
Then I feel like on the, because I'm the guy that you would have to flip it the same way on the other coin. And if gay is a religion, then so is straight. Because then what you're arguing for gay, you can also argue for straight. And it has to be same on both ways for it to be factual.
Right. I can go to a place right now that would really get me in trouble right now if I wanted to go there. Maybe we can talk offline when I bring up my thoughts on this here. But to me, an event has to happen for me to become gay. An event doesn't have to happen for me to be straight. An event has to happen for me to be gay. Right? A crisis, a life-changing event, a person I meet, a conversation, a groomer, a person that does something for me to question myself to say, maybe I am, and I don't know. And then I shift. Versus, I want to know naturally, are there symptoms and genetics or studies that I can say, this right. person's going to have signs of being gay. That's what I want to know. Because, you know, if it is, if the statement, specifically going back to the statement of, I was born this way, cool. I actually want to do studies to see what that means. You know, people say, I was born
right.
this way.
So that's so interesting because, you know, this trans movement definitely abolishes that I was born this way mentality. And that's why I argue like the LGBT community is very full of a lot of contradictions. Because if you're born this way, if you're born gay, then why are people born in the wrong body? You know, and it's like it's to me, I'm very logically consistent with the statements that I make and making sure that they are the same on both sides of that coin. And I think that that's why you're seeing a big shift in people saying things like LGB without the T. Gays against groomers, we definitely include the T. We just don't think that this is something for children to be influenced by. But consenting adults is different.
Yeah, this is we went through a whole different rabbit hole.
Yeah.
We just went right. And trust
it was
me,
interesting, yeah.
Frank, trust me when I tell you this. Off camera, at 11:30 at night, having a cigar, this conversation gets a lot more comfortable when you're talking to home team and everybody is safe.
Definitely.
Than a place like this, because in a society like today, we have to be forced to think a certain way that somebody wants to tell us to believe. And I have a very hard time with that. I got kicked out of Bible study from 7 to 10 years old because I would say, how the hell does a, if you tell me God exists and we just got bombed 167 times, explain to me how God exists and all these people died. So I was kicked out of Bible study. They wouldn't even send me back. They would tell my mom and dad, your son doesn't need to be in class because he questions everything in the Bible. So they finally said, your son can't come to Sunday school. So I've been that guy my entire life to question because I'm curious. If I'm born this way, prove it to me. I will trust science from both sides, not just PBS, not just Fox. I want a Pew Research, Gallup, those who supported the vax, those who didn't support the vax, those who voted for Republican, those who voted for Democrat, scientists. Let's put some money in there. Get to work and argue it and tell us. You know what? Here's what happens. 99.8% of people who become gay were converted because somebody groomed them. Cool. Or no. There's 12% that are born this way. Fine. Now we have the science to go based off of that rather than all these other things that are being forced down our throat. I don't want to upset you. It's just...
Oh, no, you're fine.
I'm going through it myself right now, so be patient with my level of curiosity.
Oh, you're totally okay.
So why don't we... if we can go to this next thing. This is a disturbing video. Before we play this, parents, the reason why I'm showing this is because I think parents are not aware of this enough. Here's a guy who's a convicted child predator being interviewed. Tom, have you seen this before or no? Jed, have you seen this before?
Not. Okay. I have not.
Frank, have you seen this?
No.
It's so disturbing. It's not even funny, but it's so necessary because the interviewer gets exactly how he groomed young boys before molesting them. It's a 2-minute clip. Again, brace for impact, parents. I highly recommend you watch this for your own self and start teaching your kids before they come across somebody like this. Go ahead, Rob.
How did you get them alone?
Grooming. I would check out their family situation. I would check out their clothing to see how well they were, you know, financially. I would check out their social interaction with other kids. You know, when we were on the ballparks or on the gym floor, you know, I would make sure which ones I wanted to molest. I would give them special attention, congratulate them, talk to them when I know that I would never be allowed to talk to anybody else, you know, aside from everybody. I would give them the attention that an official is not supposed to give anybody. And it made them feel like, wow, he's paying me attention. You know, it is a direct form of grooming.
Were there certain characteristics that you looked for in children before molesting them?
In children, yes, but more I
Here we go.
Also looked at their families.
There you go.
If I thought the father was a threat, I would not approach the
Bingo.
Child. If I thought that the child had friends that he would tell, I would not approach him. If I thought the child had friends that were in the same capacity he was, I would approach him. For the simple fact that if I could molest him, I could lure him into believing, grooming him into believing that he would enjoy it. And therefore, I could manipulate him into having his other friends come and be molested by me as well.
So perhaps a child that doesn't really have a whole lot of friends, maybe not really a strong family, things like that.
Yes, no spiritual values.
No spiritual values.
Weak in education, you know, needs help in many ways. Even from split parenting, you know, has a mother who may be having problems with the family, you know, well, here comes superhero in to help out, you know. Wow, well, thank you very much. No problem. You ever need me to take him away for the night so you can have a night out?
Oh, my gosh.
No problem. It works.
Bingo. Thoughts?
That's why I said that about the fatherless homes. It happens all the time. And it happens with everything. I mean, you have to think about like a dad in a home and what that means. I mean, even if you say you have a daughter and she's going to date somebody, that guy's out to do no good, comes to the front door and meets PBD or meets my husband. Good luck, you know, or meets Tom. Good luck. Or any dad out there. So a dad is really like a check on really some bad stuff. A dad has really good, strong radar. A dad who is wired properly and has his masculinity and all that intact, which is what I talk about all the time, is going to say, no, stop. And people will read that. People out to do harm will read that. And if they see a home where there is a mom who's home, who's alone, who's struggling financially, where there's a lot of holes there, that creates an opportunity for some really terrible stuff to happen. So that's very interesting that we just...
By the way, he went to jail for 12 years for molesting a number of kids.
Disgusting.
In the 80s. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, what's really, this just shows you just how busy and how much the citizenry isn't paying attention. Not all of them. And all of us are into this. I'm not putting anyone above any others in terms of parents. Everybody gets busy. Everybody doesn't pay attention. You have today groups that are coming to high schools to talk about the dangers of social media. And they're talking about predators because predators are bad. And you've got same-sex couples there that are coming to there concerned about their kids being on Facebook or kids being on social media and meeting predators and going off and having bad things happen. And they're concerned about that. But then 10 minutes later, right? Nobody, you see where I'm going, Jed? No, it's like they have this concern for the safety of their child. They have this concern for it. But then when they come back to what is the school teaching? What is the average guidance counselor doing? What are people not doing? And what are they not telling you? They're not connecting the two dots there that say, listen, grooming is grooming. You're concerned about predators over here. You're concerned about social media safety. You're concerned about really terrible things happening on one hand. But on the other hand, you've kind of not turned a blind eye, but you haven't been paying attention to see it's come in on the other side.
Mm-hmm. You know, this video points out some really good topics when it comes to who has access to this information easily. Who has the profession where they can determine these types of things that this individual did to attack children? And I would argue that teachers have all this information in abundance of all of their classrooms. And when you pair something like that knowledge with pride flags happening in classrooms, which I'm a huge proponent that we should ban pride flags out of classrooms, you are opening up the door for these teachers to have sexual conversations with students that is highly inappropriate, that is not effective to their education. I argue that if you're hanging a pride flag in your classroom, I want you to explain that to me as if I'm a six-year-old. And it's going to boil down to sexual preference. And that is no conversation for a stranger, an outside entity from the family home, to have that discussion with a child. And this video fully proves that when you look at an educator, as a parent, you should be questioning teachers more so than any person that your child is around. You should be very involved in the things that your child is learning because they have access to ultra-sensitive information that can jeopardize your child's well-being positively or negatively.
That's 100% true. Because I used to be the dean of a school and I would, you know, academic dean, and I would work with kids age seventh grade through high school. And I knew everything about their families. I knew everything about their parents. I knew what was going on in their home. I knew if that child was troubled. I know if they're on medications, ADHD medication, whatever it may be. I know what their academics looks like. I know how many times they're in and out of the office. If there's an emotional trauma or emotional problem, I know some of what's been discussed with a guidance counselor. This is 100% true, and this is why I think you've seen this blow up in homeschooling, because there's such mm-hmm. a deep concern about what's going on in schools now, and parents think that they can't monitor it adequately. They're like, well, I'm not there all day. Ultimately, you are giving your children away to an institution for a period of time in the day. You can try to be as present as possible. You can do those parent-teacher conferences. You can have those in-person interactions, but many parents are feeling like, you know, especially if they have no choice but to put their kids in public school right now, they're feeling very, very concerned and afraid, which is why the homeschooling industry is blowing up the way that it is.
And this is for you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, everything.
No, go ahead, Tom.
And you know, the BizDoc babe, she's a teacher, and she'll tell you, she said, you know, that there's this odd chasm that gets formed. Parent calls you I said, the kid was in a fight. She'll say, here's what we know. Here's what we observed. Here's what the witnesses said. Here's what another teacher on the playground said. You get chapter and verse. You know, in little kids, you get these little things called an ouch report if they got hurt. Number one, they'll tell them about the grades. They'll tell them about the tests. They'll tell them if they stole from another kid. They'll tell them if they cheated on a test. You can go through the whole thing. And it says, has he been acting out? You can't tell. Then you're not supposed to tell them the next parts. And she said, you know, this is really troubling to a lot of teachers. Teachers are not unified on this. They're troubled. They're saying, listen, the parents should know everything. And there's a difference between a kid that's got a very bad stepmother or an abusive relationship or something odd is happening at home. And there's some intervention eventually is going to be needed, maybe not CPS. But there's a difference between that and then suppressing information. You can share everything and anything. And by the way, the schools are, we got to talk to the parents because this kid is disruptive and all the other parents are complaining. So we need to talk to this parent so that their little boy who's just ADHD will stop disrupting the class. And there's this urgency to do it. But the parent then wants to get a briefing on everything. You tell the parent everything except. And it's, parents now are reacting to this, saying, no, wait a minute, this is kind of crazy. And we shouldn't paint all teachers like this, because there's a lot of teachers out there that are saying, no, we shouldn't be putting a limit right on this. But those teachers, some of them who are, doesn't matter their political affiliation, they're liberals and are saying, listen, we got to get the parents involved in this because, but I can't say anything and I can't say that that's my feeling. Mm-hmm. And so certain teachers are being kind of pushed back from expressing it by what is being characterized as a very loud minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have no power. Some of those teachers have no power because they're working within the confines of a system that prohibits them. They can either lose their job or they can go teach at a private independent school, which I worked at, where there's a little bit more flexibility because, you know, there aren't these, you know, top-down government-mandated procedures that people have to follow. But it is an increasing problem.
I want to read this story. I want to read a couple of these stories to you. Here's one from AP News. School library books, book bans are seen as targeting LGBTQ content. Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds pushes an especially sweeping crackdown on content in Iowa school libraries. The bill she's backing could result in the removal of books from schools, libraries in all of the state's 327 districts if they're successfully challenged in any one of them. Under a bill backed by Reynolds, the titles and authors of all books available to students in classrooms and libraries would be posted online, and officials would need to specify how parents could request a book's removal and how decisions to retain books could be appealed. When any district removes a book, the state's education department would add it to a removal list, and all of Iowa's 326 school districts would have to deny access to the book unless parents gave approval. The parents are the governing authority in how their child is educated, period, said Senator Amy Sinclair. Parents are responsible for their child's upbringing, period. Terry Patrick, a mother of two, expressed befuddlement about why anyone would want to make sexually explicit books available to children. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, we put in a lot of work, especially here at my home in Orange Unified School District. We actually were able to flip our board to be more conservative, and they actually terminated our superintendent and are in the process right now of replacing that individual. They did this because of a lot of the sexual things that were happening to children within these books. And so our board actually had to make drastic decisions in offloading an app to get rid of these books. And the question really comes is, all of these parents for the last year or two that have been complaining about these porn-style books that are available to students, why isn't anyone with their right mind saying that this should not be available to students? This should not be available to five-year-olds. And if you're going to make it available to your students, it should be at an appropriate age.
But here's the part, though. I'm open to being sold if you can logically sell it to me. How are they selling that that's normal, that you should be okay with that? How are they selling it to parents?
Yeah, so there's this thing, I call it gay privilege. When you paint something as inclusivity, you paint it as pride, you paint it as love, as my community, you automatically get this precedent that if you do not go along with this, then you're homophobic or you're transphobic, and no one wants to fall under that category based on how our society perceives these people. Now you have people like us, like Gays Against Groomers, that says, oh, no, 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 no. This book that is showing two children have sex, this has absolutely nothing to do with pride and inclusivity. This has everything to do with indoctrination.
They associate it with book banning now, those people. You know, they'll say that people, oh, these are like conservatives who want to ban books and that. And in the meantime, if you looked back, I mean, would you put Playboy magazines from back in the day into a child's school library? No, you wouldn't. There was some moral barometer of what was acceptable. There was a barometer. If you sent your kid into a neighbor's house, and we found out in our neighborhood when I was growing up, there was a guy that was a little strange. And a friend of mine found it out because she went and babysat there, and there were just Playboy magazines everywhere, and these were all young, and the parents said, you're not going in there anymore, you're not babysitting, you're not doing any of that stuff. But we had a moral barometer of what was acceptable. You have a school library and you have kids of a certain age bracket. Every book in that library should be pertinent for kids of that age bracket. I don't know why this has gotten so complex and so hard, and it seems to me that what you're saying is accurate, that everyone's afraid to challenge just this immoral stuff or this stuff that's just not appropriate for that age group because they're afraid of how they're going to be labeled, then they're going to be ostracized. Then, you know, someone on social media is going to make a video about them. Then they're going to, you know, have a problem at their job. It's going to balloon, and that person's suddenly going to lose their job, their financial stability. So everyone's like, let me just shut up. And who's getting hurt are the kids, because then they go into that school library and as a 14-year-old reading a book that's appropriate for a grown adult and not for them. So ultimately, you have to speak up. People like you who, you know, run these organizations, parents have to walk into these school libraries and say, I'm going to rip my kids out of this school if you don't stop putting inappropriate content in this library. And if a whole school of parents showed up and did that, they'd have to change. What are all the schools going to be empty? No, it doesn't work like that. You band together and you do something about it.
That kid must have lived in a high-end community where the parents had Playboy magazines. We found LA Express. We couldn't afford Playboy magazine when we were 14, 15 years old. But I don't know if you
know
LA
Express.
Little
kids, though. She was going to babysit 5- and 6-year-olds.
But, you know, even with that, the responsibility of that is still parents screwing that up.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Let the parents screw it up.
But we knew teachers, that it was wrong.
That's right. Of course.
We knew it was
wrong. Of course. Now, a teacher doing that and thinking it's appropriate to put it in a book to say, you know, picture two boys, what? That's the part of how are you selling these parents for some parents to say, yes. Tom, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. And I think, you know,
a lot of them do go both ways. That's a different community. That's a bisexual.
Is that. That's next Thursday.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were already the B. That's what the B stands for.
There you go.
We're
go
all ahead, learning Tom. Here, right?
No, I mean, it,
you never know, though, unless if you, Tom, try. But go ahead. You were saying.
I think it's important to make that point, right? Is, you know, appropriateness for all, because the, you know, you don't want any one community to say, oh, we're being singled out, being discriminated against. Well, they can claim to feel that way. But frankly, for libraries, we want age-appropriate, you know, material all across spectrum. You know, heterosexual, homosexual, all that stuff. We don't want any of that to be in front of kids. You know, that's the point. And it's not, you know, banning just gay books or banning just this. It is basically saying, hey, there's an appropriate age for this. You know, parents for the longest time, help me out, Jed, because you were an administrator, could opt in or opt out of certain videos that they would do for health for girls.
You sign a form.
In seventh grade. Hey, let you know, next week, April 11th, we're going to do this. This is the film. This is what it's about. It's been used since 1985, and so parents and have a phone. You know what? No, I'm going to have the conversation with my daughter. She's not going to watch that film with you. Fine. And so for the longest time, there was this moral barometer and sensibility, but it was on both ways. It's like sexualized content not going to be in front of kids at an inappropriate age, period. So nobody is singling out LGBTQ books. Nobody is banning books in the name of McCarthyism on one side of a political line here. This is kids are kids and adults are adults, and there's content for either.
They sell it, by the way, to parents because the same way they sold condom distribution in schools. They say this is happening in society. So we're just showcasing what's happening in society. They also say, well, not every kid has parents. Some kids don't have the structure at home to explain these things. So it's our job now to stand in and have these conversations with kids. That's how it's sold.
I just want to point out.
They're going to do it anyway. Let's make sure that they're doing it safely. And they use safe.
I just want to point out these books that we're talking about are not simply, you know, a dad and a dad raising a kid, taking them trick-or-treating in a coloring book. We're talking about a book that is showing kids sexual fetishes, how to use sexual objects, you know, having sex in these books, all cartoon pictures.
Is this a joke? Or are you being serious?
I am not joking with you.
No, he's not.
For real.
The speech you saw me give in Poway Unified School District, we blew up these pictures in 2 feet by 3 feet and displayed them for the school board and said, these are pictures you have in your classroom books that is available to students. And when you look at these people and they say you're homophobic, it's like this has nothing to do with sexuality. We just don't want porn in classrooms with kids. It's inappropriate. And they're using this is why when we were talking, my community, the LGBT community has been hijacked.
Well, let me go to the next story here with what's going on in Florida. Florida set to dramatically expand its don't say gay laws. Here's what they will do. This is Time magazine article, obviously, or else it has nothing to do with don't say gay laws. That's just what they're promoting. Republicans lawmakers in Florida are planning to expand provisions in their Parental Rights in Education Act or don't say gay law, which will restrict what teachers can and cannot say in their classrooms about gender, sex, and sexual orientation. The bill would heavily restrict in-school discussions about sexual orientation or gender identity until ninth grade and ban teachers from addressing students by pronouns that differ from those they were assigned at birth. The advocates for and against these bills that Time spoke to believe this legislation will pass. LGBTQ and Advocate Plus advocates especially fear that the bill would have adverse effects on LGBTQ families and more than 16,000 Florida youth that identify as transgender. Research by the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law found that more than half of the LGBTQ parents surveyed consider moving out of Florida because of the Don't Say Gay law. Jed, would you be heartbroken if these parents left Florida?
Leave. See you later. Bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. No, this is why it's important to choose where you live. Right now, this is why it's state to state. You see massive differences, by the way, in terms of what governors are and aren't willing to tackle. I mean, look at what we just saw there. They want what? Third graders getting this information? That is talking about up until ninth grade. They're trying to make stuff age appropriate for kids. They're also trying to say if you're a boy, you can't just leave the house at home a boy and everybody's, you know, oh, this is Jimmy. And then you go to school and somebody calls you a girl all day long. The parents don't know about it. Nobody knows what's going on. These are parental rights bills. These are places that you can live, by the way, states like Florida, and there are a lot of red states. Some red states, by the way, are slacking behind on this stuff, but there are a lot of red states you can go to, and you just know, listen, if something's going on with my kid as a parent, the school is going to inform me. My kid's not going to have a whole separate life at school than they have at home, and there's not going to be this big black hole of nonsense going on at school that's completely inappropriate for my eighth grader, let's say. Totally normal. Anybody with their head on straight would not have a problem with this stuff.
Frank.
I love the Parental Rights in Education bill. I think it would do tremendous positive things for my community. When it comes to addressing kids by their pronouns, you're seeing a big push of this happen. The reason this law, which I'm going to say that I support if they do implement this, is they are affirming these genders, they are affirming these pronouns outside of what their parents are calling them. And so now you don't even have the parents included in this conversation, and teachers are doing this behind their back. And so you have, you know, Ron DeSantis coming in and saying, you know what? No, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be guiding. You should not be grooming these children. You should be referring to them as they were born, because no child, the reason Gays Against Groomers says no child is born in the wrong body isn't to disavow that gender dysphoria exists. It's to put force light on that children do not have the mental capacity to make these decisions, fully formed and educated decisions. So that is why no child is born in the wrong body. And you can never, but where it stands right now, it's very likely that you would not be able to convince me otherwise, because children are too innocent. And the reason why that they are going down this journey is because of the outside influences. And we're seeing these ramifications, like with that article with children dying. I think that article said 6,000, 7,500.
Yep.
And it's a shame. And you know who that falls on? If we want to blame someone for that, that's going to be on the teachers, because the teachers are affirming these things all across our country without their parents knowing, and they're not even getting the guided assistance that they need. They're just going to school saying, hey, Mr. Lopez, can you call me a she instead of a he? And then Mr. Lopez is like, sure. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is so toxic and dangerous.
And confusing. Yes. You've got the kids living two separate lives. I mean, talk about confusion in a kid, a child's mind. One thing, one whole life at home as, you know, Jimmy goes to school all day, gets acknowledged as whatever. Now they're thinking of their parents as the enemy. They're confused. They don't know who to trust. I mean, that is a mess. mess.
Did you see the, what is it, Cabo Baba rave? Did you see the Cabo Baba rave,
no.
The drag queen rave for little children performed for the kids? Mm-hmm. You haven't seen this? Do you have that, Rob?
I see so many of these things. I'm not exactly sure. It's horrible. I'm sorry.
I want to wrap up with this for if you haven't already had enough of these videos, folks. This right here. Let me make it a little bit bigger.
Yes,
forgive me. Make the video wider. There you go. So if you want to play this, this is disturbing to say the least. These are kids.
Very
parents
disgusting.
Took them to this. The audio is taken out on Twitter. Don't worry about it. Let it keep playing.
You know what's also disgusting?
Kids are sitting there, by the way.
He thinks that this is okay. The person doing these moves, look at this. Like, it's disgusting.
I don't care if he thinks it's okay. The parents think this is okay. Let him think this is okay. I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem if he thinks it's okay. Those parents who have their kids in there, tell me what the kid is learning. Like, what form of entertainment is this?
It's not entertaining to me at all.
This is like what adults used to go in a bachelorette party, grown adults, and see this stuff, and now you have small children. Well, because again, you have to it's not about normalizing the behavior. Like, these are grown adults can do whatever they want. Grown adults can also go and spend money to go see whatever they want.
Right.
It's about normalizing exposure of these things to small children. And it's deeply sick. But what is wrong with that generation? Like, what is the age bracket of parents that have lost their minds here? Is it, I think it's like parents in their, 20s, 30s, and maybe even early 40s that are doing this stuff? Because I can't think of anyone above that age bracket that I know of that thinks this is sane. But I do know some people in places like New York City who are in their 30s or whatever, this is just what's happening in the world, and would take their kids to stuff like this. So I don't know, man. Something's deeply sick going on.
Tom, what does somebody have to pay you for you to take your kids to that entertainment to see something like that? How much money?
There's no amount of money you can give me.
Same here. What is the outcome of something like that? You know, like
confusion in the mind of those kids, you know, because you see something like this, there, you know, it's like a sentence. There's got to be a subject, a predicate, and, you know, a dot at the end of the sentence. And so what are you telling the kids when they're going in to see this? What are they seeing? What are they interpreting? What do they think it's all about? And who's talking with them later? You know, what's really interesting is you take third graders, second graders, into a school play. And the school play is about the Revolutionary War. And then what do? We go back to the classroom. We talk about the play we saw, and we debrief a little bit. It's called learning, right? Something at the front of the class, then reflective discussions, and then write something, take a test, all those things. You don't understand. They're just walking out with confusion, PBD. Confusion. You know what I mean? There's no debriefing. How many of your kids, they see something at school, they see a film on Ben Franklin, they come home with a book on Ben Franklin, they debrief on Ben Franklin, and then they sit down and they write a little piece of homework. So there's this full circle coming around. When kids go in to watch that, what did you tell them you were going to watch? What did they think when they saw it? And what did you debrief afterwards?
I want to finish with this. And I appreciate that, Tom. I want to finish with this, Frank, from you, from Jed, from Tom. So somebody's watching this and they're saying, this is freaking ridiculous. I got two kids, let's just say, 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, okay? I got three kids, a 9, a 12, and a 15-year-old. But I only make $73,000 a year. I can't afford to put my kids in private school. And I can't afford to stay home because my job doesn't allow me to work from home. I have to go to my work. I don't have a lot of choices. And I'm starting my part-time real estate gig to try to make some money so I can put my kids in private school. But I don't have any say. When I go to my school, I'm in such a liberal left community that there's nothing. I feel like there's nothing I can do. There's 20 of us parents that we all know each other because we go to the same church. What can I do? What do you say to those parents, Jed?
Honestly, what do I say?
Yeah.
Move. That's what I say. I know it's hard. I know, and I understand. I grew up with very little money. My parents didn't have a lot of money. They had to work very, very, very hard to get everything that they have in life. And they made decisions based on, sometimes you just have to go. If you are in a very liberal place and the school districts are terrible, you got to figure out a way to get out. If you can't do the private school and you can't do the homeschooling, some families, you know, are able to make sacrifices and say the dad goes to work and there's a stay-at-home mom and she says, I'm going to take this responsibility on. Not everybody can do that. Some people are in situations where they need two incomes coming in. I understand it all. I also understand that moving is not easy, that there's, you know, you have families where you are, you have your home, you have, there's a lot, but this is not going to get any better in these blue cities, these blue states. It's moving in this direction of these videos that we've seen today and worse. So you have to make a decision at some point of what matters. And ultimately, if you are stressed every single day that you send your kids into a school and you're coming home with a different kid, you got to consider picking up and going to a state where there's at least some parental right protections, where you know you have a say in your kid's life when they're not in your home.
Frank.
Yeah, I would argue, and I would just advise them to, if you can move, do so. And then you also just have to play an active role in what your child is learning. I'm a huge proponent that you should ask your children and be involved in the things that they're learning so you can course correct these actions. And the earlier that you can course correct it, it's very important. When it comes to, you know, what happens in your hometown, Gays Against Groomers is expanding so quickly. We get so many applications for volunteers. Go to our website and see if we have a chapter there. We will deploy someone over there to advocate for you and shield you from these things like we do all across our country. And just definitely just play that active role and make sure that they're okay.
Great feedback, Tom.
And the answer is, once you have kids, you have to decide what you're going to do with any spare minute of time. Is it your hobbies? Is it your desires? Or are you going to invest in this wonderful child that you've been trusted with? And being as close to them as you can so that you can guide with frameworks is point one. Point two is, I won't repeat it, it's everything Jed just said. But I think point one is just making an avowed commitment every spare minute. I don't have hobbies. It's one of the things my kids have noticed. When we were living in Dallas, they say, you know, Dad, you don't go with your friends to the OU football game. That's not a bad thing. But I knew a lot of guys who got these big RVs that would go up and be gone for the weekend for the OU football game. Now, remember, there was only, five, six home games for OU. It wasn't happening every week. But they noticed that my time was with them, not Dodie.
Tom, what a thing you just said. So everybody hit a different point. Yours was move if you can, because the fear of going to school, and every day you're like, my kid's going to change when they come home. That's a real sincere fear that people have. Yours is get active, be involved. Yours is drop some of the hobbies that are not necessary. You have to go to this, you have to go to that. I'm going to go to this game, I'm going to drive to this, and you're missing 18 hours of being with your kids. All great feedback. I will say this to you, and this is not going to be popular. All parents love their kids, I'm convinced. Of course, some of them that go and they don't want the responsibility, the father leaves and doesn't. Parents that are in their kids' lives, they love their kids. But let's face it, parents, you ain't going to like when I'm telling you this. Just kind of receive it. Sometimes you're a little lazy to want to do your job as a parent. Believe me, I was a sales leader, and I didn't want to do accountability calls. How many calls did you make this week? Forget about it. I was a lazy leader in my 20s. Then I realized accountability is necessary to develop better leaders. Parents, how was your day today? What did you talk about? What did they bring up? What did you watch? Who did you befriend? Did you have any tea? Did you think, do this? Play them stuff for them to kind of give you feedback and realize you got to keep an eye out for this. You got to choose this. What about this? Talk to the teachers. Email teachers. Trust me, if I were to get a leader's bulletin of how many times parents email teachers to say what happened here, the more teachers know that the parent is involved, just like that abuser said earlier, the more involved the father is, the less I do my thing. The more involved you are, the less the teacher knows that they can't mess with that family. They got to know that this stuff is important to you. So I think some of it is also on parents not being lazy to being involved, because your life is so busy with a show you're watching, with a Netflix, with a sports team you're loyal to, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing more valuable for you to be loyal to than the future of your kids that you brought onto this world. Okay, you're going to need God's help. You're going to need community's help. But most importantly, outside of those two, you also need to lead them properly by being involved. Phenomenal podcast. I enjoyed it. Thank you for coming out. This was great.
Thank you.
It's a very different angle we took on the topic today. I hope you guys keep doing what you're doing. Rob, if we can put that below Gays Against Groomers, what you said was important, that if you guys want somebody to come to your community and speak in lobby, go to our website, let us know. We will send somebody to your area. Put the link in the description. Put it in the chat so people can go find out about it, as well as, I think you're active on Twitter, right? If you can put his handle as well on Twitter. He's very active on Twitter. Frank, thank you for being courageous, being brave, and doing what you're doing. It's not an easy job. I'm sure it's tough. You guys get targeted all the time, but someone's got to do it, and you've chosen to do this, and I appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you.
thanks for coming out. Jed, thank you for being on as well. BizDoc, thank you as well. Rob, thanks for rocking. Gang, have a great day. I think we're doing it again on Thursday. Do we have another podcast Thursday?
We do.
We have another one as well, our live podcast that we're doing April 6th. If you didn't purchase a ticket and you want to be at the live podcast at the new studio with the cigar lounge and everything, new announcement, nobody knows. Text the word podcast to 310-340-1132. Once again, 310-340-1132. Text the word podcast. You'll be the first to know who will be on that podcast. It's a controversial figure, but you're going to want to hear him, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Text the word podcast. We'll let you know who it is on April 6th, Thursday, in South Florida.
In the evening, so it's easy to travel and get here.
7 to 9 p.m., and it's the weekend of UFC. For you to go watch a UFC in Miami as well, because I'll be there myself, too. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.